We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative Newberry, there are some Republicans who for many years have argued that government doesn't work. There have also been complaints that the media is corrupt and biased. Has this kind of Republican thinking given rise to Donald Trump and the movement known as Trumpism?
Well, I don't think the media is corrupt, but as you know, I think the media as a whole is biased nationally to the liberal side, and I think people are fed up with it. You can see it in the coverage of the campaign. I mean, I think Donald Trump won pretty much on political correctness and immigration.
Well, the New York Times broke the story about Hillary Clinton's email server.
Oh, no, I didn't say the press doesn't cover stories, but, you know, we could have a discussion for a good solid few hours on this topic, Ian.
All right, let me come back at it another way. I got the sense that you were not a big Donald Trump fan, although you're a Republican. I imagine there might be some parts of his program that you might like he seems likely to nominate conservative Supreme Court justices. But I wonder, what are your deepest concerns about the Trump administration?
Well, actually, no, I was a Marco Rubio supporter until he dropped out. Actually, I've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of his nominations so far to the federal bureaucracy or his cabinet appointments. My biggest concern all along, I was concerned that he was not a small government Republican, which is how I see myself. But a lot of his appointees come from that mold. So, you know, we're going to see how it goes. I certainly am happy he's in there instead of Hillary Clinton. I'll leave it at that.
Let's go to Scott.
What do you think is going to be the state's response if the Trump administration and the Congress, as they've said they're going to do, repeals the Affordable Care Act, the so-called Obamacare? I mean, that would seem to me to punch a pretty large hole in the state budget if it goes through as they've said they would do it.
It would punch a huge hole in the state budget. And you know what? Maybe we should have thought about that before we took all that federal money in the first place, which is something that we Republicans were saying when Lincoln Chafee was governor and globbed onto that. So, yeah, it would be a big problem for the state. And if it happens, we're going to have to deal with it. And I will not deal with it by trying to raise people's taxes anymore. I'll tell you that. But I'm not in charge. So.
We've heard you take a skeptical view to the use of incentives to try to boost economic growth in Rhode Island. Governor Gina Raimondo says some incentives, like the kind that have produced recent job announcements, are necessary to catalyze economic growth. What do you say?
I don't ever like to sound like an ideologue on these issues. I'm sure there are times when incentives are important, but if you look at all the incentives that have been rolled out over the last month or so, I look at those, I look at the cost per job, I look at the ones like the one AT Cross, you're basically bribing people to stay here. And at some level, you say, why don't you just do what Republicans have been arguing we do, reduce our tax and regulatory climate, make the whole state more business friendly, make us an outlier in a good way compared to the region, and that will attract business.
Just to push back a little bit, though, I mean, doesn't it count for something that the state has attracted GE Digital, Johnson & Johnson, Wexford, some really brand name companies, and can't that spur other growth?
Oh, it does. And by the way, I hope I turn out to be wrong. I hope this is successful. I want to be clear on this. If what she's doing turns out to work in the long term, then it'll be worth the cost. But the problem is you don't know if it's worth the cost. I don't want to use the 38 Studios oversimplification here, but that was the issue there, wasn't it? The whole idea was to bring in this new industry and it was going to take off and it failed. And where were we?
Just wondering, what would you say your top one or two priorities are for the coming legislative session?
Well, when you're in the minority party, your first priority is to try to block bad things. I will give credit to Speaker Mattiello, who is more conservative than most Democrats. I think he would admit that he generally has been pretty good at blocking bad things on his own. The last couple of years, a lot of our priorities started to get enacted into law. I'd like to see them accelerated. For example, the reducing the tax on Social Security, reducing the car tax. I'd like to see those phased in more quickly. I don't want to see an income cap on reducing the tax on pensions. I don't want to see the corporate minimum tax continue to go down. Those would be the priorities. They're all bits of things that need to be implemented as part of a whole.
We're in the quiet phase of the 2018 gubernatorial campaign with lots of speculation and lots of names being tossed out there. Who do you think would be the most effective Republican candidate for governor?
You're going to ask me to endorse someone, Ian?
If you like.
No, I am not sitting here to endorse any Republican for governor. No, I am not running myself. And I don't know the answer to that question. I will see who actually wants to run first, and then I'll decide if I want to get behind one candidate over another or another.
Next month, in a few days, actually, the minimum wage in Massachusetts will be $1.40 an hour above that in Rhode Island. Is it time for Rhode Island to raise it to have parity with Massachusetts?
I don't think so. I've never been a big fan of the minimum wage for a whole bunch of reasons that have been debated on the House floor. I think there's a place for the minimum wage in society. I don't think it needs to be that high. I think this idea that the minimum wage should be a living wage, it gets conflated by the progressives, is dead wrong. I think you kill jobs you prevent people from hiring at the low end. You make it much more difficult for teenagers to get part-time jobs. There's a lot of reasons not to raise the minimum wage. That said, I'm sure the Democrats are going to do it again this year because it's good politics for them. They believe in it.
We're talking here with State Representative Brian Newberry, a North Smithfield Republican, and you had an op-ed piece in the Providence Journal earlier this week arguing that the state would be better served by a two-year budget process. Why would that be better, and is there any realistic shred that that will actually come about?
As far as whether there's a realistic chance it'll come about, I would never say never. Here's the thing. Our budget process, and I don't think we're that different from a lot of other places, our budget process often suffers, in my view, I've been through 8 years of this, from not enough forward thinking. There's always a scramble at the end of each year. We see what the hole is or whether we have a surplus, what do we do with the money, et cetera. A two-year budget cycle would force some more advanced planning. So in that sense, I think it's a good thing. I also argue in that op-ed that the line item veto, which I support in concept, cannot simply be implemented. It needs to be worked into an entire reprocessing of our whole budget process. What I suggested was, you know, the joke at the State House, legislative study commissions where good ideas go to die, but they can be used effectively. I've been in one years ago that actually was. And I'd like to see us actually study our budget process and revamp it globally. And that takes a lot of work and time and thought. But I'd like to see it done. And if the Speaker Mattiello got behind something like that, I think that could leave a lasting legacy for him and for the Assembly.
You call yourself a small government Republican. If you were a philosopher king, where would you take your scalpel and cut state government?
I would get rid of philosopher kings first. I don't believe in them. But we need to start the human services budget. I know it's not easy to do. I know, look, lots of people come on radio op-eds, they run for office. Let's cut the budget. Realistically, I know you cannot simply take a meat axe, if you want to use that term. Scalpel may be the better term, but you can't do it. You need to ratchet it down. Our budget got as high as it is today because it keeps increasing bit by bit every year. To bring it back into something I think is realistic, you have to reduce it bit by bit every
year.
So
you would have to curb eligibility for programs like Medicaid.
Absolutely, yes.
Republicans like yourself were very critical in over the last year of the governor's truck toll program. Third-party groups spent more than $100,000 against Democrats, and it didn't really play as an issue in elections this year. Why not?
You know, it didn't play as an issue in elections as much as I thought it would. At the same time, you know, I say this all the time, incumbents tend to win, including Republican incumbents. And this election cycle, that's what you saw. We have very small districts. People know their reps. If they're not that exercised about something their rep did, they tend to support them for re-election, regardless of who they are. You really have to do something that gets the people angry at you to get tossed out of office. And I think that's really why. It just didn't resonate with people as much as we thought it would.
Where do you think the charter school issue is going? We've seen a big battle in Providence, and I'm wondering, where is the balance?
You know, that's an issue that I got heavily involved in last year because there's different kinds of charter schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, two of my kids go to charter schools, so I know this issue very well. There's charter schools that are what I call specialty charter schools. They fill a void that is not there in the public schools. And then there are things like the mayoral academies that are just basically duplicate school systems. The issue, for example, in my town in North Smithfield and also to a lesser extent in Boroughville, is we're having money taken out of our districts to fund the Mayoral Academy in Woonsocket. And, of course, to the kids who are going there, it's a great education for them, I'm sure. But is it fair to the kids left in the North Smithfield and Boroughville school districts? I would say no. And so how do you get that balance? It's not an easy question. I think people need to distinguish between charter schools, though. Too often the discussion gets simplified to charter schools versus anti-charter. And to me, that's not what it's about.
One last political question before we let you go. State Republican Chairman Brandon Bell says he plans to seek another term in March. Will you support him?
Yes.
We're out of time, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Representative Brian Newberry, a North Smithfield Republican.
Thank you, Ian, anytime.